Praise God. If you are a mother or an expectant mother, stand up. Look around, guys. This is our moms. Come on. Today we honor you for all that you've done and all that you continue to do for us. We honor you and we thank you. We give you thanks. Amen. Open your Bible with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy. Go to chapter 1, if you will. While you're going there, in Acts 16, Luke gives us a brief biography of a disciple by the name of Timothy. And Luke tells us of how Timothy and Paul came together and worked together, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ across that part of the world. And then he went on to say that Timothy was like his son. In 2 Timothy, there where you've turned to in chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul tells us how Timothy became the man of faith that he was. Look at your word there. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, and he said, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You see, Timothy was the man of faith, the man of God that he was, because that faith was passed down to him. But when I read that, I'll tell you something else that I found interesting. I found it interesting that Timothy's faith was passed down to him through his mother and not his father. I didn't quite understand all of that. Look at that verse again. Paul said, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. He's talking about Timothy's faith here. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, he said, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Can you see that? Timothy's faith was passed down to him through two generations. And I want to assure you of something this morning. It was that faith that made Timothy the man of God that he was. It was that faith that put him in the gospels of Jesus Christ, in the work of Jesus Christ, I should say. You see, I say that because it is your faith, my friends, that will dictate who you serve. It is your faith that will guide your decisions when your morals and your ethics are at stake. When you're in a situation where something comes up and you're not certain which way to turn, which way to go, because you're not sure if it's the right thing or the wrong thing, or even if you are sure and are being tugged into the wrong direction, it is your faith that will help you stay steadfast in making that decision according to the morals and the ethics that come through the faith of Jesus Christ. It is your faith that will keep you on your knees. It is your faith that will pull you through those times in your life when you feel like giving up. Faith, man. Now, with all of that in mind, as I read that verse of Scripture, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, he said, now lives in you also. If faith is that important, then why wasn't Timothy's faith passed down to him through his father? Why was it passed down to him through his mother and through his grandmother? You see, I searched through the Scriptures, and I started looking back because I started wondering about this. And the Word of God has very little to say about Timothy's father other than the fact that he was of a Greek origin. And that's about it. But if you go back into the commentaries and you really try to search out what the Bible scholars have to say, most of them say that Timothy's father was probably not a Christian man. And many of them doubt that he even lived with Lois and Timothy. Now, if those commentators are right, if those Bible scholars are right, Timothy's father, listen to me, could not have passed anything of Christian value down to him. If he was not a Christian, if you are not a Christian person, you cannot pass down Christian values. Not that come from the Lord. You might know what's right or wrong, but he can't pass anything down, especially if he's not there to do so. As much as it hurts me to say this, a large part of our world is following in the same footsteps today that was being followed in those days. I say that because a report from the U.S. Census Bureau came in that said there are approximately 13.6 million single parents in the United States today, raising over 21 million of our children. 13 million single parents raising over 21 million of our children. Listen to me, and 84% of those single parents are mothers. 84% of those 13 million people are mothers. So the question is simply this. In this scenario, who's left to teach them? And the answer is you are, Mom. You see, you are the first line of defense when it comes to the teachings of your children. Dads and husbands, don't misunderstand. I know that we work and we try to build a house and we try to make it as far as the dollars and cents. And moms, we expect that of you as well. I mean, most wives nowadays work a full-time job and then come home and then we expect you to clean the house. So I understand all of that. But I also understand that the mother is the first line of defense when it comes to teaching the children. It's always been that way. And that's what we're seeing here. So now the question that I have that becomes this. Given the world we live in, and seeing how everything is changing and as rapidly as the world is changing, what do you teach your children? What do we say to them? First line of defense, what do we say to our kids? What do we teach them about the world that we live in? First and foremost, I challenge you to this. Teach your children the truth about Jesus Christ. Teach your children the truth about Jesus Christ. You see, according to the statistics in this country, I have a graph that I want to show you. That it says that 33% of the people in this country are Christians. That means 67% of the people living in this country, 2 out of every 3, don't know Jesus and don't claim Him to be their Lord and Savior. 2 out of every 3 people do not recognize Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and those numbers are rising every year. Teach your children the truth about Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. If Timothy's grandmother had not taken the time to teach her daughter about Jesus, and if Timothy's mother had not passed that on and taken the time to teach it to Timothy, that verse of Scripture, it wouldn't be in God's Word, and she would not be remembered for what she had done in that verse of Scripture. Let me ask you something, ladies. Y'all look up here. How would you like to be remembered by your children after you're gone? I want you to think for just a minute. What is it that you want your children to remember you as or from when you're gone? That Mom was a good cook? Man, she fixed some of the best biscuits and gravy, and ain't nobody could fix beans and cornbread like my mama. That was my sister. Bottom line, man, my mama was a wonderful cook. Is that how you want to be remembered? How about this? My mom was the one who always took care of the house. She worked a full job, and she'd come in, and I'd come in, and I'd see her just working away, trying to make sure that the house was in order and things were right. That's the way I remember my mom. How's that, ladies? Will that work for you? How do you want to be remembered? How do you want your children, what do you want them to remember of you when you're gone? That she was the one who was always there to pick me up when I fell in, and she doctored my boo-boos. She fixed all my cuts and scrapes. Mom used to fix mine. You guys probably don't remember, but there used to be this ointment they called methylate. It was red. Some of y'all's doing this. You old. My mom just has this little glass thing that come out of the bottle. You know, and it was bright red. And you ever get that stuff on you, it was like you never get it off. And we'd get scrapes, and my mama would say, "Come here." And, "Oh, it don't hurt that bad." Because it would burn. It'd be like somebody setting you on fire. How do you want to be remembered? I want to say this to you. All of these things are well and good. It's great to remember mom being a good cook and fixing my cuts and I even remember the methylate. All that stuff, you know, as when you grow. I remember castor oil too. Some of y'all remember castor oil too. I remember all of those things. And all of those things are well and good. But I want to say to you this morning that there is no higher tribute. None. No higher honor that could be given to a mother than for her children to say that she influenced them more than anyone else when it came to their relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no higher tribute that a child could ever give to a mother than to say it was my mom. It was my mom that put me where I needed to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that to you because, you see, there's a lot of parents out there. They're adamant with their children when it comes to their schoolwork. Should be. They're adamant when it comes to their music lessons or being in sports. And that's okay. You should be. They're adamant about all of those things. But when it comes to the church and the things of God, the mindset is that simply we want our children to make up their own mind. And I want you to know something. If you don't influence them, somebody will. And according to those statistics that I just showed you, 2 out of every 3 people out there are going to influence them in a way that leads them away from the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you do not influence them, mom, listen to me. You are the first line of defense when it comes to your children. You got this maternal thing going on that us guys don't understand. I mean, you do. I give that up. And you are the first line of defense when it comes to your children. And if you don't influence them, somebody will. Solomon said in Proverbs 22:6, he said, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Train him in the way he should go. I read where it says, when Robert Ingersoll, the notorious skeptic, was in his heyday, 2 college students went to hear him lecture. As they walked down the street after the lecture, one said to the other, he said, "Well, I guess he knocked the props out from under Christianity, didn't he?" The other boy said, "No, I don't think he did." He said, "You see, Ingersoll did not explain my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God." That's influence, man. Teach your children the truth about Jesus Christ. Teach them that God loves them so much that he gave his only son so that whosoever would simply believe in him, receive him, they could have eternal life. Teach them that Jesus loves them so much that he was willing to die for them on that cross over there. Teach your children that Jesus is the only true way to salvation. that there is no other way to be saved, and that without Him, they are lost. Teach them the truth about Jesus. Pray with them. Read the Bible with them. Answer their questions. Teach them the truth about Jesus. That is the first and foremost thing that I can say to you when it comes to your children. And then second, teach your children godly morals and values. We don't have a lot of that in the world we live in anymore outside the Christian realm. People are out to get what they can get. They step on whoever's neck it takes to get it. They don't care. The jails are full and overcrowded. I mean, simply because the morals and values of this world is different nowadays. Well, I want to tell you something. It's up to you. It's up to you to shape the character of your children. It's up to you. There are too many parents in this world that believe that it is up to the pastor and the Sunday school teachers and the church to shape the values of their children. And let me tell you something. They're wrong. They're wrong. You see, the church and the schools are simply there to reinforce those basic beliefs that you've taught at home. At home is where they get grounded. According to child psychologists, here's what they said. It is in the home where children learn the importance of the church. It is in the home where children learn honesty. I want you all to listen to me. And integrity. It's in the home where your child learns right from wrong and healthy sexuality. It is in your home where these things are taught. It's in your home where your children learn how men and women properly relate to each other. It's in your home where children learn how to pray and how to handle life's difficulties when they come about. And let me tell you something. Parents, we can't blame a child for living their life in a manner that we did not teach them is wrong. We can't blame them. If they go out there and live their life in a manner that we did not teach them is wrong. Shaping your children's character. And I say this to you on Mother's Day because you are the first line of defense. Shaping your children's character is very important. And I want you to hear this. And I speak to moms and dads both when I say this. If you come into church on Sunday morning shouting your praises unto Jesus and raising your hands and jumping up and down and singing those praise and worship songs and then go home and gossip and run down the church, let me tell you something. You are not sending a mixed signal to your children. The message you are sending is very clear. Shaping your children's character is paramount. Dorothy Nolte, if you have a bulletin, I may have one here. If you have a bulletin, there's a little peach insert in it that says, she wrote a poem that says, children learn what they live. And here's what she says. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he will learn to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If he lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If he lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If he lives with approval, he learns to like himself. And if a child lives with acceptance and friendships, he learns to find love in the world. You see, Mom, You are the first line of defense to make sure those things happen that are right for your child. So I challenge you, teach your children the truth about Jesus Christ. Don't let somebody else come into your home and into your child's life and teach them something contrary to where they should be or what they should be believing. Teach them the truth about Jesus Christ and teach them godly morals and values that they can stand on when you're not around. And then last but not least, live out the life that you teach. Live out the life that you teach. Paul wrote to Timothy, and in chapter 3 in 2 Timothy 1 through 5, here's what he said. Stay with me here. Paul said, there will be terrible times in the last days. Y'all believe we're in the last days? I believe we're in the last days. I believe Jesus could come anytime. Paul said, there will be terrible times in these last days. And he said, people will be lovers of themselves. He said, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, and disobedient to their parents. He said, in these last days, people will be ungrateful and unholy, without love. They will become unforgiving. Look at that. Unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. They will become brutal, not lovers of the good. In these last days, Paul said, people will become treacherous and rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying God's power, is basically what he's saying there. Now, that's a pretty strong cup to drink. And when you talk about raising a child in the mix of all of that, it can become very difficult. Well, God's word won't tell you where the problem is unless he also gives you the solution as to how to deal with that. So Paul said to us that there are some things here that you can look for, but he said in the mix of all of that, he said, let me tell you how to raise your children, Mom. In Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, here's what he said. He said, while all of this is going on in your world around you, while all of these people are out there being worldly and ungodly, he said, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. He said, in your teaching, show integrity and seriousness and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. You see, there in verse 7, he said, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. Let me tell you why Paul says this. According to statistics, and I just want to share some things here with you that's very important. According to statistics, if a child's parent smokes, the children are 3 times more likely to smoke themselves, even though we tell them not to. You know that? According to stats, if you smoke, there is a 3 times higher chance that your children at some point will pick up cigarettes, even though we've told them not to. A study by Candell found that 82% of the parents that drink in the house raise offspring that drink. And 72% of the families who abstain from drinking raise children who abstain. Put those statistics to work. Statistics say if a child is abused, physically abused, in their home, they are 6 times more likely to become an abusive parent to their child. You see, Paul says, during all of this garbage that's going on in this world around us, he said, don't get in there and be like that. He said, y'all got kids and children. He said, don't be like that. He said, set them an example. And everything there in verse 7, set them an example by doing what is good, he said. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity and seriousness and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. You see, parents, children, it goes back to that little peach piece of paper. Children learn what they live. I want to read something to you that I thought was really cool. When the 10-year-olds in Miss Imogene Frost's class at the Brookside, New Jersey Community Sunday School, these are 10-year-olds, when they expressed their views of what was wrong with grown-ups, this is what they said. 10-year-olds. They said, grown-ups, they make promises. Then they forget all about them, or else they say it really wasn't a promise, that it was just a maybe. This is 10-year-olds. Grown-ups don't do the things they're always telling the children to do, like pick up their things or be neat or you tell the truth. Grown-ups never really listen to what children have to say. They always decide ahead of time what they're going to answer. Grown-ups, they make mistakes, but they won't admit them. They always pretend that they weren't mistakes or that somebody else made them. This are 10-year-olds. Grown-ups, they interrupt children all the time and think nothing of it. But if a child interrupts a grown-up, he gets a scolding or maybe even something worse. Grown-ups, they never understand how much a child wants something, a certain thing, maybe a certain color or shape or size. If it's something they don't admire, the parent, even if the children have spent their own money for it, the parent will say, I can't imagine what you want with that old thing. Sometimes grown-ups punish children unfairly. It isn't right if you've done just some little thing wrong and grown-ups take away something that means an awful lot to you. And other times, you can do something really bad and they say they're going to punish you, but they don't. You never know. And you ought to know. That's what a 10-year-old says. And then last, he said, grown-ups are always talking about what they did and what they knew when they were 10 years old. But they don't try to think about what it's like to be 10 years old right now. I'm going to close with this. Dr. Charles Stanley, when it comes to your children, he said, teach them biblical principles. Talk about the Lord and His ways. And show them what a righteous life looks like by living one. In other words, listen to this. Be the kind of believer that you hope your child will become. Sending a child into the world without a biblical foundation is like throwing him into a lion's den without weapons or armor. Little ones, they can't discern truth from error because their grid systems are immature. So parents must defend their children's minds against the world's onslaught until they are ready to take over the challenge for themselves. Here's the bottom line, moms. When it comes to teaching your children, truly, you are the first line of defense. Bottom line. And deep down within your heart, you know that. It's that maternal thing again. You know that. So, when it comes to teaching your children, teach them the truth about Jesus. Teach them the truth. Teach them that He loves them with all of His heart. Teach your children that He died for them And that salvation can only be found through Him. Now listen to me. But in order for you to teach that to your children, you have to believe that. And if you're going to teach your child about getting saved, you need to be saved. Because you see, if you don't, if you stand there and teach one thing to your child and live another, your child will see that. So teach your children the truth about Jesus and live it. Second, teach them how to have godly morals and godly values. But in order for that to be effective in their life, you have to have godly morals and godly values that you practice before them. And then last, live out before them the life that you teach. Don't be, how many of you had parents that said, you do as I say and not as I do? I can't tell you how many times I heard that growing up. Don't you worry about what I do. You do what I told you. You can't raise children like that. Live out the life that you teach. Because if you don't, the signal that you send will not be a mixed signal. It will become very clear to your children. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will. And I want to say to you this morning, being a mom, man, it's a tough job. In the world that we live in today, it's difficult. Because you've got two-thirds of the world pulling against what you're trying to teach your children. But you are still the first line of defense. Above all, you are the first line of defense. Are you teaching them about Jesus? Really? Do you take the time to tell them that He died for them, or do you wait on the church to teach them? That He loves them. That there's salvation available to them through Him. Are you teaching them godly morals and values and ethics? Truly. Are you teaching them those things? And then I guess the last thing is, are you living it out before them? Or are you saying one thing and living out another? And expecting your children to be okay with that? Sometimes life gets hard. Raising kids, man, I can't imagine in today's time. It's tough. But tough moms will stand strong. And they'll do what's right. I'm going to close with this. If there's an area of your life in which you just need to bring to the altar and say, God, I just really need some help here, I'm going to open the altars up for you. Maybe you don't think you've been a good mom. And you just need to say, Lord, help me to get past where I am. I'm going to open the altars up for you. Maybe you just want to come and say thanks. I'm going to open the altars up. And I'm going to say to you guys out there, the men, it's very important that you hear. Your wife works circles around us, man, for the most part. Like I said, they hold a full-time job, and we still expect them to cut down the trees and mend the fence and have supper on the table before it gets dark, and we just don't think nothing of it until our socks aren't clean, or and then we start thinking. Do something special for her. Today is her day. And don't go buy her some mixer. Don't go buy you something and give it to her thinking that if she doesn't use it, you got it back anyway. Do something special for them. Do something that says you love them. I don't care. Listen to me. I don't care if you take your wife home. And y'all can laugh all you want. But if you go to John chapter 13, Jesus got on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. And he said, I have set you an example. I've set you an example, he said, for you to do as I have done. Maybe you don't have any money. Maybe times are tough for you. Take your wife home and pull her shoes off and wash her feet. You tell her how much you appreciate what she does for you and that without her, you would be lost. I wouldn't want to live my life if I didn't have her in my life anymore. My life would be done if she wasn't in my life. So I challenge you. Take her out to eat if you can. Or go fix her something. Give her a break. This is the mother of your children. And this is your life standing next to you. If you've not been doing your part, gentlemen, that altar's open for you as well because you've got a part in how she raises those kids. So I just say to you, as Jake sings, the altars are open. Jake, why don't you shut those fluorescents off? The altars are open. Cool. Ladies, if you need to bring something to the altar, bring it. Come on. Don't stand there. Just bring it. Just go kneel at an altar. And let God help you work things out. Eight children gave their heart to Jesus in Children's Church this morning. That's what I'm talking about, right there. If you need to be up here, come on. Don't stand out there. And guys, this altar is not just for the girls. If y'all's been cutting it short and you've been slacking, get your bad self up here and get on your face before the Lord. And let God work with you. Let's walk out of here and have a different home when we go home. Let's go home and be proud of everything that we've got. Everything that the Lord has supplied. Come on, guys. If you need to be up here and the Spirit of God is moving on your heart, don't you stand there. The altar's open.